With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We hit the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Talk Bucks and Celtics tonight as the unofficial second half of the NBA season for your Milwaukee Bucks starts up with the team that knocked them out in the playoffs last year. Sean Grandy, radio play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, joins us now on the Wendy's Big Show. Sean, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
I'm going to get some sticks in the show tonight, like bumper music or whatever.
There you go.
I haven't heard that, though. That's way back. It's like big-time throwback.
Sean, I just told everyone to come sail away with us for the next 4 hours on the Big Show here today.
Nice. We're looking forward to the new building. Yeah, remember, the Celtics haven't been here.
It's going
to
be...
We're one of the last teams to get here.
Right. And it's going to be a really, really fun game tonight. I expect it to be incredibly physical, Sean.
I think so, too. I think that, you know, it's funny we call it, we're in a condition to call it the second half of the year, when the reality is the Celtics on this trip will go past the three-quarters point of the season over the weekend. So the finish line starts to be in sight. It's a difficult schedule for the Celtics with a lot of big games just like this. And I think this works out kind of nice because it's not a second half of the season. It is all, you know, not quite the home stretch, but you're almost there. You can see it from here. And so I think, it, you know, with the standings being the way they are, I think it's pretty amped up for these big games. There's extra spotlight on them.
And talking about the Celtics, you guys won't be at full strength tonight, it doesn't look like.
No, Gordon Hayward, I seriously doubt, is going to play tonight. And Aaron Baines, who's a really important piece for the Celtics. You know, you look at all the numbers, all the defensive metrics, all the, when Aaron Baines plays this many minutes, the Celtics are much better, and when he doesn't, they don't do as well. And specifically with this matchup, because for the Celtics to have success against Milwaukee, you really need, you know, Al Horford to play the five and have Aaron Baines come off the bench with different guys. So it there's a trickle-down effect with rotations when you don't have Aaron Baines. And Gordon Hayward, Celtic fans are nervous about it because it seemed like he's turned the corner a lot. People thought it was going to be a slow progression throughout the course of the year, and it hasn't. It's been very up and down, but he's put together his best four or five games of the year easily going into the break, so that's a setback. And you have now the Celtics have a legitimate max contract guy coming off the bench as a scorer on that second unit. We won't have him tonight either.
So the nice thing about having a play-by-play guy on is obviously you get to see every single game. You call every single game. So then when I have Bucks fans telling me what they think of the Boston Celtics, I can just go right to the source. So I've got some Bucks fans that believe this team is better without Kyrie Irving on the floor. And for me, I struggle with that, saying that a team is better without an all-pro. But you've obviously have seen them all year. What do you think?
It's an argument that I understand. It fills a lot of hours on radio talk shows in Boston. I think the general feeling, there's a growing negative feeling about Kyrie, which is over the last couple of weeks and couple of months, which I think correlates to the amount of time he talks to the media, which every time he does, I think that likability factor goes down. So I think there are people kind of looking for numbers like this. There are some numbers that back up, and you guys saw it in the playoffs last year. When the Celtics don't have Kyrie, they can win at home, but they can't win without him on the road, which obviously, needless to say, for the Celtics to get to the NBA Finals, which so many people thought they could at the start of the year, they're going to have to beat the Bucks on the road. They're going to have to beat Toronto on the road. They're going to have to beat both those teams on the road to pull that off, which is an extraordinary feat, which you need him to be at full Kyrie. But none of the numbers, the real numbers, back that up. He's a top plus-minus guy. He's a top net rating guy among the regular players. The Celtics with and without him are just a completely different team. And from the trickle-down effect of what it does to other guys when you have to put so much attention on Kyrie. So it's a fun sports radio argument, but no, the Celtics are not remotely better without Kyrie.
How much do you seem to look at the coaching aspect to see if Danny Ainge and Stevens are on the same page on how do you build a championship-quality team? Do they seem to be on the same page or are they far apart?
I think they've generally been on the same page, and I'd go so far as to say I don't think Brad Stevens thinks as much about building a team as a lot of coaches do. I think he's certainly at this stage of his career, he's very content just coaching the players in front of him. I think the way this roster was composed, the biggest question. I mean, when people say, what's going on with the Celtics? Why haven't they been as good as people thought they were going to be? When the reality is, how far off of what they should be are they is another question. The perception of where they are in the standings. Once you start 10-10, I say this to people who are, get all uptight because the Celtics are going to finish third at best, and they've been fourth or fifth in the conference most of the year. If you think you're going to win the batting title at the start of the year, then you hit 250 for the first month and a half, you can hit 360 the rest of the year. You're not winning the batting title. Once you start 10-10 in a conference that has Milwaukee and Toronto, forget it. It's not going to happen. But when you think about championship teams, think about Golden State with Livingston and Iguodala. When the Celtics won 10 years ago, they had James Posey and Eddie House, quote-unquote role players, but that's sort of demeaning to me. Significant players on the roster, sixth man, seventh man, eighth, the guys you need to win. When you think of championship teams, those guys are generally veteran guys who've been around, they've made their money, they've had their place in the league, and they're not just content, they know exactly what to do and what is required in that role. The Celtics are trying to do that with 22, 23-year-old young guys who are still on their rookie contracts, and although the talent level is very high, and that from a roster composition standpoint, that to me is the biggest challenge that Brad Stevens has had, is that there's a lot of high-end talent, but you're counting on a lot of it at a very young age to play roles. A lot of guys are on losing teams at 22 years old, but they're the go-to guy.
You would think they have a lot of pieces if they ever want to package some deals to get into the free agent market the next couple of years. But the guy I want to talk to you about is Jason Tatum. To me, that guy is on the cusp of being a real star. But how does he fit with these guys? And that's the one thing that Stevens has to figure that out. How does he fit? I mean, how do you get guys, the Jaylen Browns and all these guys, or even if you get the Terry Rozier, those guys who went through the playoffs that were like in that Boston Bucks series, to be, whoa, where are these guys coming from? Without Uncle Drew, we thought the Bucks were going to win. But at the same time, these guys, he has to figure out everybody has equal minutes. How does he juggle that?
That's the complication of coaching his team. And he knew it from the start. And by the way, the Celtics, again, the opposite of that 10-10 start batting average thing I was using as an example is what happened to them last year when they lost that second game to the Bucks after the Gordon Hayward injury. Then they rattled off 16 wins in a row. That win streak couldn't happen again in a million years with the lucky breaks and the bounces and the things that happened. But they were 16-2, and they kind of, I don't say they coasted the rest of the year, but they weren't very good in the second half. But the perception is the Celtics were better last year because of the early record and because they got by in the home court. They won all those home court games to beat the Bucks in the first round, a series that, you know, everybody knows could easily have gone the other way. And even the second round against Philadelphia, which was a five-game series, that could have been 4-1 the other way. Those games were very close. So the Celtics went farther than they should have, and that created the perception and the expectations on this team. But we're just talking about with the roster composition. This would have happened last year if Gordon Hayward doesn't get hurt. You know, without Gordon Hayward and without Kyrie Irving, it gave a chance for those guys to flourish. And I think there was a bit of a hangover and adjustment for all those guys, for Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown. And I think when I'm talking about that 10-10 start, and the Celtics have been pretty much as good as anybody from late November on, they played with at the same level as Milwaukee and Golden State and the elite teams. But a lot of that 10-10 start that we're talking about now came from those guys. Terry Rozier, Jaylen Brown, everybody sort of think, you know, Gordon Hayward, who had 1 year earlier couldn't even walk. Everybody sort of figuring out their new place. I think the Celtics are in a pretty good place. They're in a much better place than they were early in the year. But, again, I think that perception of it being a difficult season has outweighed the reality of it because of that bad start.
Oh, Sean Graney, Celtics play-by-play guy here on the Wendy's Big Show on The Fan. When you talk about this matchup, Celtics and Bucks, what is your one biggest fear if these two were to play in a series as far as what could hamper the Celtics?
Well, I think Celtics fans should have a lot of fear. I think that 4 or 5 years ago, Golden State, when they won the first year, they stormed out of the gate, and they were the best team all year. And yet, because a team like that hadn't won, people were skeptical. A team like Golden State hadn't won. What's Steph Curry ever done? What have they done in the playoffs? And people couldn't really accept what their eyes should have been telling them about the year that they're having. There shouldn't be any question. As talented as Golden State is, as much experience as they have, and as well as they played the last month, there should be no illusion that the Milwaukee Bucks have been and are the best team in the NBA. There can't be, just based on the body
of work. And it is extraordinary to see a team. We always talk about how the toughest thing to do, it's one thing to get from 25 wins up into the 40s. But to go from a 45-46 win team to a 60-win team and a champion, that is the hardest job. And this team has made it without ease. And I don't know how much discussion, what the discussion is here, I don't know. But as a guy who voted for 18 years for MVP, to me, this idea the national media is putting out there that this is a two-man race right now, it's a two-man race for second between Harden and Paul George. I always started when I voted as best player on best team, and I don't have any doubt who the best team is, and there's no doubt to me who the best player on that best team is.
John Grandy, what is your perception of Chris Middleton, too, being able to see him more of a national spotlight? Obviously, you saw him last year in the playoffs and how well he played against Boston in the playoffs last year. He is a hot-button topic on Sports Talk Radio here in Milwaukee.
Yeah, I'm sure. And because nationally, everyone sees, you know, he's a big all-star game. You see him from time to time. And that's the biggest difference. And when you're saying about talking to a guy that watches every game and sees every game, there's a little bit of that grass is always greener thing when you're seeing guys on other teams, because you're just usually seeing highlights and you're hearing things about them, but you're not watching the little things in the third quarter of such and such a game that might drive you a little crazy about a certain player. I love the year he's had. I love the player he has become. I talk about dogs, the guys you have to have on your team, and what makes Toronto the difference between the Raptors teams that have faded the last couple of years. And when you add Kawhi to Kyle Lowry, that's just two guys that are going to fight. They're going to fight you. And that's what I love about Middleton. It's what I love about a lot of the guys on this Milwaukee team. I'm happy to see him get the kind of national attention. He earned it.
John, we really appreciate the time, man. It's going to be a fun game tonight, and we'll see how to Fiserv for him.
Ask him to score. Bucks take on the Celtics. Win. Don't let him off the hook.
No, he doesn't have time for that. He's a grown man.
Yeah, he does. He's a big guy. He can answer.
You got a prediction for tonight?
I think it's going to be a good game. I expect it to be a fun game tonight. And I'll tell you this. If you want a prediction, here it is.
There you go.
This is the Celtics' only game in Milwaukee this year in the regular season. Get up to the third spot. And even if they do, I think there's a chance they get by Toronto. So I don't think there's any way. I mean, I'd be excited about a Boston-Milwaukee rematch in the playoffs. So I think we're going
to
get it.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it already, Sean. Awesome. And then you can book it right away. We'll talk to you then when these two teams meet in the
Thank
playoffs.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it, bud.
Done deal.
Thanks, Sean. Sean Grandy, play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics. Sean Grandy, PBP on Twitter.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.